Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
We'll get an update on the world from the BBC in 10 minutes, but first, at 8:50, time for the pre-opening commodity market report. And with the numbers and the analysis, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Midwest Direct Hog markets today are expected to be steady to $1 per hundredweight lower as buying interest wanes. Terminals are called steady to 50 cents lower, top prices from $53 to $56. Peoria is called steady today with a top price of $53. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, May 15th, negotiated swine purchases were 16,016. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $70 to $81.08. The weighted average was $78.89, a loss of 71 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $54.82. to $62.67, the weighted average $61.44. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 16,729. The base price range was $71 to $85.14. The weighted average was $81.79, a loss of $1.70 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $55.74 to $63, the weighted average $62.06. Joining us now with a look at the weekend agricultural outlook is AM 580 meteorologist Scott Althoff. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Dave. I have my hands here, the Climate Prediction Center's outlook for the month of June for the Midwest.
Very nice.
Yeah, and so unfortunately it's calling for above average precipitation for the Illinois and Indiana area and below average temperatures. So much of the same, I guess, can be said for the weather for the month of June. This outlook, the 40% chance of that will happen across the Great Lakes, above average precipitation and below average temperatures. Now, rain fell in about 65% of the eastern Corn Belt on Thursday, and it included 93 to 107 inch here at WILO and 25% of the western Corn Belt. The rain was heaviest from southeastern Indiana and northern Kentucky into southern Ohio, where 1 to 2 inches were reported. Rainfall amounts elsewhere from central Missouri through Ohio were mostly a quarter to half inch, with local amounts up to inch and a quarter. An area of light showers brought up to a tenth of an inch, with local amounts up to half inch in portions of interior eastern Nebraska through central Minnesota. High temperatures were in the 60s and 70s, with 50s from central Missouri through northern Ohio. Low this morning, portions of the northern Illinois dipped to 33 degrees this morning, but no crop-threatening cold occurred. Today's forecast is wetter in the western Corn Belt for the middle of next week through the following weekend. A widespread soaking rain is now expected, with locally heavy rain in the north and southeast. Widespread rain will move across the eastern Corn Belt May 24th to the 26th. And confidence is rather low for this event, however, and the duration of this event may need to be shortened for the western Corn Belt. Good planning progress is likely today through Tuesday in the areas that did not see rain yesterday, including most of the western Corn Belt from Kansas, northwestern Missouri, and southwestern Iowa to the Dakotas. Temperatures warm in the 70s and 80s this weekend into early next week for the much of the western Corn Belt into portions of Illinois. Highs will be in the 60s from North Dakota into Indiana and Ohio, with 50s in the Great Lakes region. In the wheat belt, U.S. hard wheat, red wheat, a few showers and thunderstorms occurred in less than 25% of the U.S. hard red wheat country Thursday. Rainfall range up to 0.2 of an inch, with Nebraska and Texas receiving most of the rain. High temperatures were in the 60s and 70s, and lows this morning were in the upper 30s and 40s northwest to the 40s and 50s across the southeast. Limited rainfall and net drying conditions are expected in hard red wheat country through the weekend and into early next week. A slow-moving frontal system will set off repetitive shower and thunderstorm activity during the middle and latter parts of next week, and some heavy rainfall will be possible. Most areas in the region will be impacted at one time or another, and the moisture will be well-timed, and the cooling that follows will likely benefit crops. Additionally, crops conditions will stay very good in the U.S. hard red wheat belt. Temperatures will steadily rise over the next few days, with highs late this weekend and early next week in the 80s and 90s. Over the most of the production region, lows will be in the 40s and 50s northwest and the 50s and 60s southeast. Cooling is expected late next week and the following weekend, with temperatures possibly dipping below average again for a short period of time. In the U.S. northern plains, a few showers occurred Thursday into eastern South Dakota to Minnesota. Rainfall range up to 1/2 inch. The remainder of the northern plains will dry and seasonably warm, with highs in the 60s and 70s and lows this morning in the 40s and 50s. Rain will develop in most spring wheat areas Wednesday through Saturday of next week. The moisture will be well-timed and will follow a period of dry and warm weather that will dominate this weekend and early next week. The environment should prove beneficial to crop development. Temperatures will be warmer than usual this weekend, with highs in the 70s and 80s and lows in the 40s and 50s. Cooling will occur during late next week, with highs falling back to the 50s and 60s, and with lows in the 30s and 40s, and some recovery in temperatures will occur again during the week of May 26th. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Olthoff.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat opened at 818 and a quarter, down 2 1/4 last trade up, 2 3/4. September, 830 down 1 last trade up, 3 3/4. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 770 and a half, down 1 last trade up, 4 1/4. September, 786 unchanged last trade up, 5 1/4. December, 806 and 3/4, up 3/4 last trade up, 5. July corn opened at 599 and a half, up a half, last trade up 3 1/2. December, 623, up a half, last trade up 4 3/4. July of 2009, 650 and a half, up 3/4, last trade up 2 3/4. July beans opened at 1350 and a half, up 3, last trade up 15 1/4. November, 1321 and a half, up 2 1/4, last trade up 15. Take it out to July of next year, 1370, up 11, last trade up 11. July soybean meal opened at 345.40, up 40, last trade up 290. July soybean oil opened at 6031, up 28, last trade up 86. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Well, I guess I want to start with some questions about Monday and the NAS numbers. Trade, best I can tell, is looking for something along 80% planted. And I just can't see where they're going to get that number. I'm more of a mindset it's going to be lower than that. And I'm also of a mindset that folks in certain states, like Missouri, may have already made decisions not to do corn when it dries out, but go right to beans.
Well, I can't disagree with you. I think 80% is a very wishful thought. I would be really surprised if we even see 75. Although, you know, we always have to take into account that those numbers are real subjective because, you know, not everybody's flying all over looking at how much is really planted. Sometimes, you know, they're just talking to people. And so I felt 51% was too much for what we had seen. So I do agree with you when it comes to the change to beans. And yet, when you do run the numbers on the beans, and I just went through this morning with somebody, corn still far outpaces beans when it comes to the potential for profit. So I think they'll be reluctant to jump too fast if there's any kind of a window that allows them to plant some corn.
What do we make of yesterday's outside up day in the corn market?
Well, I think it's certainly a positive indicator. I didn't see any reason for us to be down the way that we were, and some of the big downs that we've seen have been more related to a lower volume than what we have experienced in the last number of months. And so, anytime you have lower volume, you have the opportunity to be able to see things pushed around. But the strength in the corn market coming back made sense. The strength in the bean market overnight certainly made sense. There was no reason for beans to be down the way that they were, especially when we looked at where crude oil is. And this morning, one of the outfits that I read is projecting crude oil to be $141 in the last half of this year. I know that's a scary number in terms of what it costs for us for fuel, but it certainly supports the idea that we can't break real heavily in the commodity area either.
Certainly, it appears that crude oil futures action in the last few days has been nothing more than a bear trap. We're at back up contract highs again today.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, when you look at the trading range and that, just like when you look at the trading range on corn and beans, we have to get used to the idea that a $6 trading range on oil is just going to be kind of a normal thing. could be $3 up and $3 down and back to the middle again by the end of the day. And so controlling emotion, I think, is probably the most difficult thing that people have, because, you know, you could look at the market at any given time, feel like you want to jump out the window, come back 15 minutes later, and it looks totally different.
Go ahead and give us then your price projections for the opening bell on the grains.
Well, on corn, I see it falling pretty darn close with what we had in the overnights. I think, you know, up that 3 to 4 is normal. I'm truly expecting to see beans make a pretty good rebound today, 9 to 15. Wheat's going to be two-sided again. We ended up up overnight. That's a very nervous market. And when you look at livestock right now, live cattle up, hogs up, basically along with the corn market, and feeder cattle down.
All right. Anything to add? About 30 seconds left.
Well, I think that it was interesting yesterday when we did see those core numbers come out as far as the consumer price index, and the idea that even though we've seen the food prices go up, we've seen very little, if any, change, and definitely lower than what they were guessing, from an impact on the consumer himself. All it said was furniture prices went down and hotel prices went down. I think as Americans, we have to be recognize that they will charge to what it bears. And so if we pay more for food, they'll charge us less for other things.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. You're listening to WILL Urbana.